Welcome to Wizard Team, a Black Magical podcast for Black Magical Stories.
Hey everyone, it's Bayana and Robin embarking on a journey through the many fantasy stories written by and about Black people. Currently, we're reading Amari and the Great Game by B.B. Austin, and today, it's time for a wrap-up. We've done it. We finished. Let's discuss the book as a whole and play some games.
It's so wild. It's so wild that we finished. It's crazy. Like, I knew it was shorter. Like, it's obviously a shorter book than, like, Legendborn.
Yeah.
But also, like, I guess it took us a longer time to do the first one because we were doing, like,
one chapter,
an episode or whatever. Yeah. So, like, even looking at our schedules, like, yeah, by early April, we're going to be done. But even still, I'm like, damn.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Let's get into some games. I'll put these on Instagram like I did. And I guess Tumblr. I think I did it for Tumblr, too. At the end of Legendborn, I'll, like, put them up so that y'all can, like, give your
opinions,
votes and thoughts to these as well. So,
we're gonna play No Perdope. Sorry, go ahead.
A special what?
No Perdope. This one
special in what way?
It's just No Perdope. Having the women's basketball championship come on at noon as opposed to prime time, especially when we have a standing recording session at noon. Noon. Nope. Okay.
I assume the answer was nope.
they have more viewers in the men's game. And they're like, WrestleMania? What are we doing here? Misogyny. It's stupid. The isms.
They do
the isms that surround women's basketball.
They be isming. Well, this is true. Okay, so Nope or Dope. So we've played this game before now in the last, really since we like came back from retirement. So, but to recap, I guess we're going to say a thing and then we have to decide if it's something that we like. So dope, obviously, or something that we don't like. Nope. And then we can give answers. This time, instead of like scenarios, we're just going to go through the departments at the Bureau because there's so many and I think we've seen most of them now at this point. So some of them I feel like will not be surprising, but maybe some will be. We'll see. So yeah. Okay. So first one, Nope or Dope, Department of Good Fortunes and Bad Omens. I feel like dope. I feel like when we saw that one in Amari and the Night Brothers, like, it was cool.
Yeah, I mean, I have to give it a dope because of what you said, like, when we saw it in the Night Brothers, it was cool. I'm trying to think of Nope or Dope as, like, would I want to be in the department? No.
Same. But I mean, yeah, but then that's, yeah.
Is the department a great piece of, like, I guess it's like, I could visit there, but I'm not moving in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know,
I felt like I liked like director Horace. He was really great. And the fact that they could just like wear whatever. They wanted.
So like it's like a bunch of free spirits, which I like mess with. But also there's not enough. Certainty. There's just too much uncertainty, I guess. I am going to say dope. I think it's a dope department. I think it's interesting, too, that, like, when we saw in the very beginning of this book, like, the real fortune cookies, I forgot what they're actually called, the actual fortune cookies and stuff.
I like, think that's what they're called, yeah.
That they're, like, regulated through this department and all of that stuff. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Department of Creature Control. I feel like this is another dope in the sense that, like, it feels, I mean, obviously, I think part of it too is like, it is just what we see. Obviously, it's not like we don't know the entire purview of these departments. Like, we get more of really Department of Supernatural Investigations. It's the only one we kind of get a deeper or have a deeper knowledge of. But like, the fact that it's like a wildlife preserve and it seems more about like maintaining the well-being of those creatures as opposed to like imprisoning them or, yeah, but like keeping them safe and then putting them in their habitats when they're ready to be there. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like a cool spot.
Yeah, I would kind of like
be trying to be in there. I'm just not really an animal person like that, but it seems like, it seems cool.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things that reminds me of the zoo, which I didn't get to go to with your sister because she's a hater. But where, like, I enjoy and I'm appreciative of the fact that the zoo exists in the sense that, like, humans are going to human and so you need to, like, preserve. But then I also hate it because, like, we're preserving them from ourselves and we could just let them be wild.
Let them be.
And, you know, so it's one of those where it's like dope because we are who we are and getting us to change is futile. And then it's nope because like we could just leave, like we could just let them be wild and there wouldn't be a reason to have to preserve and conserve and conserve. Yeah. And it's also like a large part of this too is like, oh, they have to be hidden. The supernatural creatures have to be hidden. And it's like, I don't know. Personally, what makes a shadow any crazier than some of the animals they got just running about in Australia? You could put half of them animals.
Right.
You could have them creatures in Australia and I would be like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like this is a conversation we've had multiple times in like all iterations of Wizard Team of just like, what makes a creature magical or like an animal, what makes it strange enough that like regular humans wouldn't be? And like, I wonder if it's like the magical properties that they have, because you know how people be like, you know, poaching and stuff, so then maybe it's like that and it's like, oh, humans can't
have access to
have this substance or this whatever. But yeah, there's still the question of like, would it be, oh my gosh, look at this giant thing, or is it just like, oh, we don't want you to, like, kill them off.
Yeah. Because I feel like if the properties, if the magical properties, if you have to be magical or super have, like, some supernatural power to, like, know about and use the properties, just let them cook. But if, like, you know, it's like a unicorn and they figure out, like, oh, if we kill these things then we can get long life or whatever.
Live forever.
And that... And that happens to, like, any human regardless. And it's like, yeah, okay, you probably need to keep them hidden because humans are the worst.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah, so mostly dope.
Yes. Department of Licenses and Records. That's a difficult one.
It's a nope because just, like, the DMV is a nope. I imagine the DMV. Nope. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, it feels like a lot of it is like unnecessary bureaucracy, like bureaucracy for bureaucracy's sake. But then like sometimes you need bureaucracy, I guess. Do you?
I don't know. I wouldn't say no outright just because like you need some kind of system.
Yeah. I mean like,
some kind of organization.
People
but it's
should
just like,
have.
Maybe it's like you don't need bureaucracy in the way that like it manifests as it is now, but like,
yeah, there needs to be some regulation. Like, not everyone should just be able to like fly a flying ship or whatever. Like, you need to have a license. Not everyone should have access to guns. There should be some regulation.
Right.
But also, you say Department of License and Records, and I think of sitting in the DMV for 14 hours to do something very, like, this could have been an email.
Easy. Something I could have did online if they had a working website.
Yes.
Or my favorite, the last time I went to the DMV, there was a form I filled out online, and then they were like, oh, but you also have to come in to fill out this other form that pretty much has the same information as the form you just filled out, but you have to come in to fill that one out.
That's really
it's
fun.
It's just like, why are you like this? Be better.
My
anyway,
favorite is like smog.
Department.
You need a smog check. You need to register your car, which you can do online, but then it costs like $400. Okay.
It's all
Department of Magical Science.
Dope. Yeah, I feel like it's dope. It's I one of my favorite things about like the world of Amari and like, you know, supernatural world or whatever is the like ways that they put together like magic and technology, and like we've talked about it before like plenty of times through the series, but like I think it's really interesting in the ways that they work together. And then it just, you know, opens up possibilities for like more things that you can do, and like especially when they have magic so regulated and people themselves are only allowed to have like a certain amount of magic, to then be able to like put them into objects or to do things that then make people's lives easier and cooler, I think is dope.
Agreed. And it also gives me like, just into the terms of the story, it gives me like Amari as James Bond and Elsie as the dude that gives James Bond all the gadgets. Q? Something like that. I don't really go to James Bond, but yeah, I love that man in the chair, special agent type of vibe that is only possible because the Department of Magical Science keeps coming up with these cool little gadgets and whatnot. So the spider, that's an actual, like the computer spider, that's an actual spider. They do need to calm down on these robots and the AI, though.
Amani in the chat says that we better have said dope or Keyshana would have fought us again for messing up the Punnett squares. I did not mess up the Punnett squares.
I still don't know what those are.
It's neither here nor there. Robin still doesn't understand them, but it's fine. Because, like, why would you have to?
I'm just here to make Keyshana mad.
You've already chosen a career and a life that does not necessitate knowing what a Punnett square is. So I think you're good.
I know. Apparently, allegedly, I was taught that information. It obviously wasn't important enough to stick around. Okay. The Department of Half-Truths and Full Cover-Ups.
Nope. They're trash. It's already in the name. I think that's the thing that's been like getting me this whole time is like, it's both the internal and the external name. You know what I mean? So it's like, how can you trust anything they're telling you ever? Like your thought is like, oh yeah, it's half truth and full cover ups to the other world. But it's like, well, what about y'all?
Yeah. No, it's all
and that's even before Harlow's ass coming in here being the worst. So like, no.
What's that saying? It's like the truth is the best disinfectant, or sunshine is the best disinfectant, or whatever they use for like bad, like the free information, the Freedom of Information Act, and then like the thing that organization that is just like about like using those, I forget what they say. It's a saying that is very popular. Sunshine is the best disinfectant. But I don't, there's like a bigger thing, but I know that those words go in there. Because you have this Department of Half-Truths and Full Cover-Ups, you're allowing all of these like shady practices. And like people are going to be shady. There will be there will always be villains or people we perceive to be villains. There will always be people trying to get over grift. As long as we live in a capitalistic hellscape, there will be people trying to find ways to like take advantage while not playing by the rules. And I think like part of capitalism is like set up to like reward that. But because of like a department like this and where you're able to kind of like operate in the dark, you have Harlow and Merlin just like not letting people know to be on the lookout for Harlow. Like it's just like it allows for all of this like terribleness. So I don't see a good argument for keeping it around.
Right. Department of Unexplained. Or of the Unexplained.
The Unexplained. I think that that's dope. I think,
yeah,
in terms of things like the Coco, whatever, where it's like you kind of have like this mixture of like all the departments coming together to like figure out how to beat this unbeatable creature. I think the Department of the Unexplained is like one of those where you could very easily fall into like the white man science trope of like, why are y'all messing with this stuff? Like, let it just let it be. Mm-hmm. But then also like it adds to the magic of the world and like the, you know, making these discoveries and stuff. So I think for it's mostly dope.
Yeah. I'm interested to like see more of it. Cause I feel like we've only met like the director.
Yeah.
Wasn't he the headless one? I think he was the headless one.
Oh boy, who would like to leave
so
stuff?
I just feel like I would like to see more of like what the department is, because I'm also curious of like, it's the Department of the Unexplained. Are you trying to explain these things, or are you just keeping track of them? Or you know what I mean? At what point, like if you're able to explain it, at what point do you like transfer that to a different department or whatever? But from the little that we know so far, I feel like dope.
Yeah. I feel like they're trying to explain it and then figure out. And then like once it's explained or they've got it, then they pass it off to the department that would be in charge and move on to the next thing. But I also feel like it's just gonna, all we need is one crazy in that department. Because I'm sure that's how time stone bombs came to be. Someone was like, time is unexplained.
Well, now, well, we'll get there.
Now
well, maybe, yeah, the until they were able to explain it and then made a department around it or something. I don't know.
Yep.
The Department of Undersea Relations, I feel like dope. Like, you should.
Yeah.
As long as they're not on some, like, colonizer stuff, like, tight. You know what I mean? You should hang out, see what's going on with the people.
I feel like diplomacy is important. Like, as long as they're not on some colonizer stuff, but we know from what we know, they definitely are. But, like, in theory, dope. In theory.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've seen some things like, what's it called? The International Railways of Atlantis. Like, I think there have been mentions of, like, mermaids and stuff. So, like, I think it's really... Mm-hmm. I'd be curious to see just, like, what they do. And then also...
I think we have their sirens in this more world as like, well.
Yeah. Yeah. So just more of like what I think I'm more interested in the undersea people. You know what I mean? Like I want to know what they got going on. And then like, sure, like what the connection is to the Bureau or whatever. I think I'm more interested in the people that are being related to than the relations themselves. But
agreed.
Such a weird way to put it, but for now I feel like dope.
I do love diplomacy. Like I feel like in its non colonizery form, it's just like, let's figure out how to engage with each other in good faith and work through cultural differences. What's the dislike about mm-hmm. that? Nothing.
Yeah. And I'd be super interested to see, like, in the future books, like, if it does come up, like, how they interact or react to all this other stuff going on. Like, you know, the magicians and the Harlow of it all. Like, what they're, if they are even in it, but then
if they, like, let magicians and stuff get asylum there.
Right. Or, like, the other Unwanteds or whatever. Like, maybe that's where Mrs. Yeah. Walters went.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Department of Dreams and Nightmares.
It's hard. I think dope in theory, but what we've seen of it, I would have to say nope. The way that it actually
Because I feel like the knee jerk is to say dope. But, yeah. like... in actuality, like, I don't really want anyone to be able to just, like, watch my...
Dylan came to the Department of Dreams and Nightmares with Homeboy's memory as a dream. I want to do some investigation. I want to make sure that dude is okay, even if he is a ghost. There's not enough...
Yeah, and I also just feel like watching your dreams or your memories or whatever... like a movie.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, again, looks cool, but is kind of unsettling. Yeah, so I'm gonna say nope, except, again, it does look cool. And I think as part of the world, it's cool. But for me, myself, nah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it is, like, so a lot of these that we're doing, it is, like, in theory, because we've seen them or they've been mentioned, but we haven't really, like, seen the department in practice, you know, mm-hmm. or seen, like, but we have gotten a I think a in-depth enough glimpse of this department where I'm like, nah. And I also just don't think that should be something that you regulate in general.
Right. But I could also see, like, I'm sure there are people who, like, can see into dreams or who, you know what I mean? I'm curious what the line.
Yeah, but I feel like that could be in the prophecy, good fortunes
or
and bad omens.
Maybe, yeah. That's true. Yeah, but I don't know.
Because it's like, if you have, like, dream, what are they, like,
prophetic dreams? Right, if they're prophetic or if they're, like, then that goes into, yeah. Department of Hidden Places.
This is one I want to know more about, because, like, how do you...
Same.
How do you know there are so many hidden places that you need a department for it? And are we keeping them hidden? Are you deciding that these places need to be hidden?
Right.
What are the rules?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to say, because it's... Yeah, there's nothing... I know they went into that department... But it was, like, during the last, like, junior agent tryout or whatever. And so they didn't actually, like, do anything. They were just looking for something there. They weren't, like, actually... It wasn't, like, the creature control where they were actually, like, interacting with people there, even though they were, like, still going through. So it's just harder to say. Because all we really saw was more of that it was hidden. So yeah, I don't know. TBD. Yeah. Department of Supernatural Health, I feel like, is a dope. Sometimes you got supernatural ailments, you know, magical comas and the like.
Sometimes your brother is in a coma. And yeah. Department of the Dead. Dope.
I think dope. Just because, like, it, like, feels, from all the stuff that we've seen of, like, ghosts and, like, the dead in this world, like, them having, like, it's just interesting. I feel like they have the Department of the Dead spans so many, like, has so many different purviews, you know what I mean? Like, there's somebody in there who's organizing that, like, festival that happens every year, you know what I mean? And there's somebody who's, like, overseeing people who want to like talk to people on the other side. And there's people who are probably, you know, handling the like ghost applications and the like, there's just so many like different things that are happening there that I feel like it's really cool.
I agree. I think that there's like, and this is like something I was going to say about, well, I'm going to mention in a different department too, the way in which I want it to be, which is that like organizing the festival and all this stuff. And then some of the things that we actually see that I don't like, which is like, oh, we want it to be as welcoming as possible. And so it's just spooky and we're like spooky, allowing, yeah. Or we're just like, it's just got to be creepy and nightmarish. Not all dead things are evil, bad.
Mm-hmm. Or creepy, I guess.
Yeah, creepy. Like that's, I feel like that's unfair. All of the other things that we've seen, I'm like, are dope. And like the even just like the way that mediums, like it's like what we were talking about with like the technology too, of like the way the mediums work in here, and it's like a phone mm-hmm. booth, and like, I don't know. I just, I love it.
Yeah.
And if you are going to interact with dead people, it should be good to like understand like what's going on over there.
But yeah, no, it's also cool too to think about like even like with the technology, like how it evolved. Cause I'm sure, you know, like mediums definitely existed before like the phone booth. So then like how did they interact with them then? And then like, was it harder? And like how did those, like, you know, just thinking about how the different departments interact with each other too is really interesting, and how they kind of help enhance the powers or whatever that they already have. But yeah, you already know what I'm about to say for this one. The Department of Time Management. Dope. Somebody's got to do it. Clearly, because like people just be freezing time and shit. Like, you got somebody's got to keep a track.
Somebody's got to do it. So that's dope.
But also the fact that like, it's so small that there's only two people in that whole department. I'm like, y'all need to recruit.
And one of them is like 14.
Is not sustainable. Right. And the other one just went missing. So you just have this child who's like clocking into work only in the summertime. So what's happening when he has to go back to school? They're having other issues with their management. But I do love that it's like, you know, people always talk about having to like work on their time management skills, and like the fact that this is literal time management, I think, is also kind of funny.
The part where I lean towards nope is like its existence. It challenges my impulse control.
Oh, because of that clock.
Like if I was just like time is a thing that you can't, it's a concept or whatever, but you can't touch it. It's unknowable. It's just, you know, it's like oxygen. But when I think about it, it's something that like I can't go into the Department of Time Management. There is not like a singular clock. But now that I know that there is a clock, well, what happened? Let's just try it.
Yeah, but that's why you would not be in there. And I think that's also why they only got two people in this dang department. They just got to find ways to make like folks, you got to test people out. You know, but yeah. I guess they have tryouts. But even still,
and they don't even have tryouts. They don't even show. They don't even talk about the department. You just get like Director Horace gets a feeling, and it's like, oh hey,
yeah. Or what is his name? Director Wynn.
Oh, Wynn. Yeah, Director Horace.
Which is a great name.
It is a great name.
Yeah,
but now he's missing.
Now he's missing. Ooh, what if they have to find him? Okay, anyway, let's keep going. We're not in theories yet. But that would be
dope.
That would be awesome. Anyway, dope. Love BNC content? Want to see the tricks behind the treats? Every month we drop behind the scenes and bonus content on our Patreon. Baddies at any tier get access to notes, process videos, and podcast outtakes. Support us on Patreon at any tier by going to patreon.com/blacknerdscreate.
Here on Wizard Team, it's no surprise that we love books. We also love supporting the independent bookstores.
With our bookshop affiliate link, you can not only get all the books on your TBR, but you can support indie bookstores and BNC at the same time.
And if you're not sure what you want, that ain't no problem. Check out our The Plot Thickens list, full of recommendations from none other than Portia herself.
head to www.bookshop.org/shop/blacknerdscreate to treat your shelves.
Treat your shelves.
Oh, that's nice. That's clever.
Oh my goodness.
That's clever.
The Department of Supernatural Investigations gets a big fat nope. That's a no from
but
me, dog.
It's like, again, it's the two-handed thing, because it didn't have to be cops.
No. It's just the way that it is. It's like,
yeah,
the way that we've seen it and the way they've shown up and like the way that it's structured right now is no. It doesn't have to be a no, though.
We could very much be living our best Sherlock Holmes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We could be on Cold Case. What's another investigate? Like,
there's that club that like does the
investigation
that like solves cold cases or whatever. Like, it could be stuff like that. Like, it doesn't need to be like deporting people and, you know, criminalizing them and all that. Like, it
and putting them in places called the sightless, putting children in the sightless depths.
Right, Blackstone Prison. Like, why? Be better. Department of Spies and Secrets feels like an offshoot of Supernatural Investigations, which makes me lean into nope, but like it could be cool.
It seems a little bit more leaning into the stuff that we're into as well. You know what I mean? Like the intrigue, the investigations and big,
yeah.
Like if you're coming to like break up big like conspiracies or like Harlow and like these like, you know, shout out to Portia, but like the Yeti Mafia is a criminal conspiracy. You know, they out here with like a RICO case needs to be compiled, so you might have to infiltrate the mafia and build a case. I'm into that.
Yeah,
the, like you said, like the deportations and all the copy. I don't even want to say law enforcement, because it's not even like enforcing law. Sometimes it is just making laws to like marginalize people. Like that part, no.
Mm-hmm. New game. Like I said, we will put these on Instagram, and y'all can vote in our stories for your for nope or dope. Also for these, I would like to know. We're gonna play Would You Rather. I don't know how hard these are gonna be. We'll see. Like, I think at least I know for the ones I made up, I was just vibing. So we will see.
Same.
So first one, would you rather face Harlow or Moreau?
I would like to think that I am magical enough to withstand Harlow, what she got going on. So Harlow, because I feel like it doesn't matter how magical you are if you're up against Moreau, unless you outsmart him or he underestimates you.
Yeah.
And the opposite is true of Harlow. It doesn't matter if she underestimates you if you're not magical enough. Like, all that matters with Harlow is that you're magical enough to withstand her power. So okay. I'm gonna bet on me. I'm gonna believe in my sauce.
Okay.
And say I'm magical enough to withstand her power.
Mm-hmm.
So Harlow, because I don't know if I have what it takes to battle. I'm not, you know, I know how you girls love to tussle, but I'm not one.
Yeah.
I don't
want
to test it.
Once again, did not think about my answers at all. I feel like maybe Harlow too, honestly, and only in the sense of like she's not necessarily fatal right away. Like, and also with her power, like, at least how she is now, her power is not completely, like, broken free. Like, she's, you know, she's still limited. And also, it's not like she could be controlling you forever. So I feel like in those moments where she's not controlling you, you could do some stuff to like maneuver and then. Yeah.
So I feel like you have to. I feel like for you too, like you can, in those moments, you can like put a plan together and like figure out the contingencies to like best her, even if she can.
Right.
Come back and like you're like, okay, I have to like figure out these things in the in between time before she comes back. And then by the time, like, I don't know how long it'll take, but you would be able to like make it work.
Yeah.
I don't have that long term thing.
It's really a matter of like not. I gotta be strong enough. But I feel like too, it's also like part of like not underestimating her, because I think that like this whole time, in this book, like she was underestimated, even as horrible as she was. Like there was still nobody's really like thinking about what she could be hiding or what. Nobody was really digging into her past or like asking questions about her. And so I think that like she relies on that too. But yeah, I feel like ultimately, like I feel like it would take a while. I don't think it would be easy, but I feel like I'd have a better chance with Harlow than Moreau.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. This one is dumb. And of course I came up with it. And I refuse to participate. Part two, kind of. I refuse to participate.
Would you rather fight the Kraken or the Karkul?
I'd rather die. No doubt. Are you going to survive the zombie apocalypse? I'm not.
I'm not. So I think for me, I'd probably rather fight the Karkul only because like we've seen how like there's some strategy to it, and you're not trying to defeat it. You're just trying to get it to go back to sleep. So I feel like because there's a strategy behind it, it might be easier to do. Not alone. Like I would need a squad with me, but I feel like that would be easier than trying to fight the Kraken underwater and it has like chainsaw teeth, you know?
Okay, so you made sense because like for me, I was about to say the Kraken because I could just, I mean, drowning's not the best way to go, but like I'm just going to get... You fight in the water and the Kraken, I'm just give it up. But as you were talking about the Karkul and getting it to go back to sleep, I was thinking about Totoro and how you could, like, when Mei just, like, crawls on top of him and goes to sleep. Like, I would just lay down and go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Do a possum thing. Play dead. Be completely uninteresting
like
to this
thing. You know, like, with babies... You know, like when Ami was a baby and it was like nap time and you'd have to like lay down with her. Sometimes if you pretended to be asleep, then she would fall asleep. It's like that.
Yeah. Do you know how many times I fell asleep?
That never worked with my brothers.
And then she would just be up playing and I'd wake up like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
It wouldn't last that long, but it was all part of the process.
No. It's like, oh, I dozed.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be like that for sure.
Okay, part two of this question. Would you rather befriend the Kraken or the Karkul?
I feel like I'd rather befriend the Kraken because I feel like so much of the world is covered in water. And if we were homies and something bad happened, like they could help get me out of there, keep me safe.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Karkul, though, I love a good nap. And a nap buddy. I'm not trying to like chill with him. I'm not trying to hang out. I'm not trying to call and see what's up. I want you to be asleep.
Yeah, I feel like he's real slimy. And like
that too.
I think I'm like I'm cool off that, honestly, which is funny because like he is part dragon, but I mess with the Kraken. I feel like the Kraken would be cool to have as a friend, but never as an enemy. So I'm like, if we could be cool, then like I'm sticking with the Kraken. If we can't be cool, then I'm gonna just leave. It's cool. Like, no, thank you. I don't want the smoke.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather break into the Supernatural World Congress or participate in the Great Game?
I would rather break into the Supernatural World Congress. It literally didn't seem that difficult.
Yeah.
It, a lot of it was like the was planning missing. And stuff. It was a lot more anxiety around the idea of doing it than the actual doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't really have good security. I mean, I'm curious what it would be like if like it was under actual, you know what I mean? Like if Harlow and Bane weren't trying to hide it from everyone, like if they were allowing people to go and investigate, like if, you know what I mean, like if it was running as it's supposed to run, I'm curious if it would be harder. But I also feel like I would have a better chance of living through that than participating in the great game. So
yeah,
I
also feel like the, and this goes into like one of the other ones, like there's an unknowingness to the great game. Like you don't know when you're going to get called into a challenge or arena or whatever. You don't know what it's going to be. So there's just this level of like all encompassing anxiety. And not that the anxiety wasn't high for them when they decided that they were going to break in, but it all happened pretty quickly. And I feel like for me, that is like much easier to deal with. It's like, okay, you decide you're going to break in. You have the anxiety while you're trying to figure out the plan and if the plan's going to work, but it all like is like it's a one time. There's like a control to it that I find easier to handle than the great game.
Yeah. Agreed.
So,
would you rather be a technologist or a weatherist?
I'd rather be a weatherist.
I feel like
I grew up watching Storm. Be a badass.
That's real.
I feel like a technologist is actually probably the smart thing to want to be.
I was going to say, I feel like I want to be a technologist mostly because like this Wi-Fi sucks and I don't know how to fix it. And in general, technology is not like, I'm not bad at technology. I'm like millennial levels of good at technology, right? Like I can generally figure out my way around something, but like I don't actually know what I'm doing. And sometimes I feel like it'd be nice to just be able to like touch my computer and then it does what needs to be done.
It is.
So I'm gonna go with technologist.
As you say that, I'm like, you are correct. It is true. And I work in technology and I stay being like, I don't know. I'm not on that side.
I don't know what this is. And like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, there's just so many things I could think of that would be better if that was a thing that was possible to be. Okay, the next one. Would you rather live with Shadow? That's Newton's pet shade, or fancy Jaden's golden goose? I feel like it's hard because Shadow is very clearly chaotic, but geese are also like demons.
Mean.
So I don't know. I feel like Shadow is cute and like in the way that like a toddler is, where like he's exhausting but also is like adorable. So maybe Shadow. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I already live with a
demon. He'll chill out.
I already live with a chaos demon. Like, so I feel like Shadow is like the obvious answer for me. I'm used to it. I'm used to chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And cuteness in that way. And I have a thing about birds. So for me, it's Shadow for sure. Also, I was thinking about it because, I was sitting outside and it got really hot and I was like, Shadow in your pocket right now would be lovely. But then also it's been cold. I'm like, Shadow would be awful then. But
right.
I don't see the like plus and minuses of fancy the golden goose. I just see the minuses.
Mm-mm. Unless does she lay golden eggs? Even then, I'm
even
like,
then.
Is it worth it?
Mm-mm.
I don't
like
know
eggs.
If it's worth it.
Oh, and you well, can't I was bake thinking with like golden eggs, gold. I don't think.
I was thinking like gold, but yeah, no.
I know. I also find that to be annoying because like, do they take straight gold or do I have to go get it like exchanged?
Right. There's too many questions.
Yeah.
Okay, last one. Would you rather squeeze the Great Game ring or stick your hand in Jaden's pocket? Oh my gosh.
I came with this one, and again, it's because of the unknowing, the lack of control.
Yeah. I would rather stick my head in Jaden's pocket because I'm sure he just has like a cute little pet in there. It doesn't seem like I might, doesn't seem potentially fatal, even if I don't know. It makes me think of that game that like celebrities play on one of those, I don't know which outlet, but like the what's in the box thing where they have to like stick their hand in the box and figure out what the, what's in there without looking. It feels like that, but I would still rather do that than wherever the Great Game is going to take me. Unless it was a living library.
Right.
Because the living library is lit. But, you know, you have a 1 in 5 chance, so I don't really want to actually, I don't want to mess with it. I don't want to risk it.
Now you say the living library. But it's also a 1 in 5 chance from what we know. There could be like an untold number of things. It also is like, okay, if I stick my hand in a Jaden's pocket and I get bit or something, maybe it's a poisonous bite. Who knows? But it like, again, it's over quicker. I'm going to go with Jaden, my hand in Jaden's pocket. It's a, but
yeah,
both options make me very unweary because of the lack of control and the unknowing.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that was game time. again, like I said, we'll put them, we want to know your thoughts. So we'll put them in the, on social media. Make sure you're following us at Wizard Team Pod, and then you can go on our stories and then they'll be there.
Yay.
At least one of them will be there Wednesday. I feel like last time I did one Wednesday, one Thursday, so maybe I'll do it like that. But I can't remember. So either way, it'll be up at the time that you're listening to this. Well, it's stories. So you have, if you're listening on Wednesday, it will be up on Wednesday. If you're listening later, very sorry to you, but you can also just let us know. And we would love to know your thoughts. Okay. We're going into theories.
So this is like a blank kind of thing. I put down some theories. But I was just wondering about like Amari and the Despicable Wonder theories overall, and questions that I have going into the third book. So I wrote down some questions that lead into theories. They're like leading questions, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Will Maria and Quentin join the squad as main characters, or will they continue to be tertiary behind the scenes?
I feel like Quentin is definitely going to have a bigger role, or I guess I hope that he has a bigger role in the next one. I feel like we've spent so much time with him being gone one way or another. But he's also like the reason Amari's even here. So I think that like dealing with that, and it's been a long time since they've interacted in like the real world. Like, I think it would make sense. But I could also see him not being around as much just because, like, it is Amari's story and she kind of has to drive things. I don't know.
He could take over the Magnus Fiona. Like, we just see him as, like, the, like, mentor that she comes to for, like, reassurance and questions. And it's not that he doesn't play a role, but it's just not as deep or involved. Like, he's not going to be her partner. It's still going to be like a Van Helsing and Elsie and Amari driving, you know? And I think that those are still going to be the go-to people. But then it's like right now when she's like, what's the next step in an investigation? She goes to Magnus and Fiona, whereas she'll go to Quentin. And then she'll have more emotional support beyond Elsie because she'll have Quentin. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting. I feel like Maria will probably still be tertiary, though.
Yeah.
Like, they still got to rescue her or whatever, or somebody. She's got to get out somehow. I don't know if they necessarily have to rescue her. But I don't think that she'll be, like, a much bigger character than she is. I do think it'd be, I think we'll probably at some point, which I think would be cool to see, is, like, see a Vanquish moment. We can see why they have all their stands. But yeah, other than that,
yeah, I agree. Okay, this is like part theory, part question. I want to see the wedding. I want there to be a moment of like in the supernatural world outside of the Bureau. We haven't got to see too much of that, beyond like the League of Magicians, and they suck. They don't suck. Cosmo sucks. If we get the actual wedding, will Dylan ruin the party? Or Harlow? Will the party be ruined?
I think it depends on, like, if, like, how they do the wedding. But honestly, probably, you know, probably. Somebody's gonna ruin it. Just because that's how these books go. Can't ever just have nothing.
Right. You can never just have a good time.
Yeah. But I feel like, yeah, I feel like, yes, I hope we see the wedding. Like, I think that would be great. We still haven't seen Fiona's, kid.
Right. She has a kid.
So that would be cute too. She has a kid. So yeah, I feel like that'd be great to see. I really hope we do get to see their wedding. I feel like it's gonna be like underground or whatever, because there's no way Magnus and Fiona are gonna go along with Harlow. Like, I mean, they might for a little bit, and then they're gonna find out the truth, and they're gonna be like, all right, we're out. We're on the run.
On the lam.
Now I'm thinking about like on the run tour. Anyway.
We are also Despicables. Oh. On the run tour with B and J.
Yeah.
With Magnus and Harlow as Magnus Bonnie and Clyde 2.0.
You mean Fiona?
What did I say? Yes.
Harlow.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that. What role will Cosmo and the League of Magicians play? And by this I mean, will they be a help or will they be a hindrance? Will they be another obstacle?
I feel like the League of Magicians in general, I think they'll definitely be another obstacle, or at least some of them will be. I feel like there was a good chunk before the Great Game started, like when they first after Cosmo broke Dylan out of prison, you could tell that there were like some magicians who were on Dylan's side and who thought like, yeah, we should go to war or whatever. So I definitely think Dylan will have a contingent of like people who, he'll definitely have a contingent of people who are like on his side and who are trying to like, you know, defeat the Bureau and whatever. But I also think there are probably some who aren't trying to fight like that. And so who might like, I feel like the League will be split. I feel like one of the things that is going to have to happen is like freeing the magicians who've been kidnapped by the Bureau. I feel like Cosmo is a question mark, though. Like, I think he made this decision or whatever, and he was like, yeah, Dylan's got to, you know, be the one. But I could 100% see him either regretting the decision, trying to steer Dylan towards a specific direction, and that like backfiring or something like that, and him coming back to be on Amari's side. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't feel like his loyalties are all that strong either way. I think his biggest loyalty is to himself, and I guess like magician kind as a whole, but even then it's kind of nebulous as to like what he thinks is best.
I agree. I think that we'll have a moment of like, I don't know if it's comeuppance from Cosmo or like a come to Jesus moment, but it will be rooted in him, his own self preservation or something like that. Like, mm-hmm. it won't be a full redemption, but it'll be like a, ooh, the consequences of my action.
Right. Right. Yeah, like, I don't think by the end it'll be like, oh, he's cool now. It's more like, oh, he's like an ally.
Yeah.
Maybe, but that's kind of what I'm thinking. Especially as we get other like elements in play, I could just see his position changing.
Agreed.
And honestly, even like I could even see him just like liking Amari, even like, you know, him helping her get back home, that kind of like just their last interaction was very like, not like he's rooting for her, like I don't really think it's that, but I don't know that he is like has any malicious intent towards her.
Yeah. I think he just really wanted, he knew what he wanted from like the league, like the board magician who's going to take over the league, and he wanted to be prepared for war, and he didn't want to, he didn't want peace, he wanted problems always.
Right.
It just so happened that like exactly. Amari was like the voice of like rationality and peace, and so that didn't work for him, but not that he was against Amari for any personal reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. What are the Despicable Wonders? Who are the Despicable Wonders? Why are the Despicable Wonders? When?
Where? Also, Wonders. Where? All those questions, where? Honestly. None of those are the answers for. But I don't know. I feel like I can't decide if they're like places or like objects, you know, because you think of like the seven, the great wonders of the world or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so like those are places and it's like, you know, these great, you know, sweeping monuments or what's the word? Landscapes, that kind of thing. Or if they're like something more tangible, and like what makes it despicable, I don't know.
I feel like it might be more like, yeah, like the seven wonders, but despicable. And I feel like Harlow is going to be playing games and using them or trying to use them and causing chaos. Or my other thought is that the Despicable Wonders will be magicians as a whole coming out of the shadows and messing stuff up.
Right.
So in the same way that like there were those hybrid attacks, but all of that was caused by Dylan. Like imagine the amount of magicians that we saw when the league gathered, all of them just wreaking havoc on the supernatural world.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the Watcher at the end.
Or even like, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, I could also be like that could be the description of what is about to happen. You know what I mean? Like from a non-magical perspective. You know what I mean? Like you see something like wild happen and you're like, that's a despicable wonder. But I don't know. I'm very curious because I'm like, I think that was last episode where we discussed like the titles and how they have like layered meanings, and how they don't seem like they're the main part of the story, but then when you actually like dig deeper, they really do like describe the full thing. So yeah, I'm very curious. Good thing we only have like 4 months to wait, or maybe a little bit more than that, but still, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Theories for the next two books. So this is my one theory, because from my understanding, Amari was supposed to be a trilogy, and then two more books were announced. And I think because of the way in which The Great Game played out, Bibi often plotted out like a trilogy type of story. And so my theory is that the next two books that they announced will still be in the world, but will not be Amari Peters centered. And I think we'll get one with Elsie and Dragons, which I'm very excited about. And then we'll get like a Jaden Fantastic Beast type of thing. And Amari will become the sidekick. It'll still be, you know, like the group doing these things together, but it will be centered around the other friends.
I feel like that'd be interesting. I don't know if I agree, but I think it would be interesting if that was the case, like companion novels or something.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like he probably did. Even if he didn't originally think of it as like five books, I could see, I don't know, I've seen like the conversation kind of going around a little bit this past week. So like, for example, like Legendborn Cycle was originally sold as three books, but then got to a point where Tracy was like, I feel like it, I would be able to tell the story better with more time. And, you know, she's lucky enough to have that like popularity and like, you know what I mean? Like making back a lot of money to make the publisher want to be like, yeah, sure, let's do it. But I'm thinking about Blood Debts, that series by TJ Benton Walker. And he was just talking about earlier this week about how, so the second book comes out soon. But in his head, it was always, and so it was sold as like a duology, but in his head, it was always meant to be more books than that. And so he was talking about how the second book ends on this cliffhanger, but there's no guarantee that like he's going to get to tell the story the way that he wants to tell the story. And so that's like a bigger conversation too, just about like, you know, Black authors and what they're allowed to, what space they're given to write the stories they want to write and all that kind of stuff. But my thought though from that is that it's totally possible that Bibi Austin submitted this as a trilogy, but in his head was always like, I would like to have more time. Or even if he didn't, got to a certain point in writing this third book and was like, I'm not going to be able to wrap up all of the things that I've seeded, and would like to have more space. And then he's also, you know, blessed enough to have a really popular best-selling series, even just off of the first two books. That I could see them letting him like get that space to like tell that story. Obviously, either way, I'm down. Like, I don't like literally anything in this world. Even if he did like a prequel, great, let's go. But I could just see like there's so many different like threads. And I think I'm most interested in the Watchers just because like they are mentioned, but they're very easily forgettable in the second book. But I could just see them becoming worse than like just there's so much chaos with like Dylan and Harlow and all the things that they're doing. There's no way they're going to be able to keep things contained. And so I'm curious what bigger problems they set off because of their own like greedy, you know, desires or whatever. But yeah, I don't know.
That is interesting though, to have like, it's really interesting in general when you think about like publishing. I mean, this is true of all kind of like media and like the opportunities. Like a lot of the art is also a lot of the art is affected by like what you believe you'll have the opportunity to do. And so just like acknowledging that is so good. It's just very important as like you kind of, especially with novels or writing, I feel like you kind of think about these writers in a room writing the book that they want. And then, yes, like the publishing process is like a minefield, but it gets out into the world in the way in which they want it to. And it's like, no, that's not always the mm-hmm. case. Like, there are a lot of things that like actually go into that. And there are a lot of decisions to include or not include things. And so, yeah, I was
yeah. kind of thinking, and they're not about, all like with like, under people's control as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like,
and so I was kind of,
because it's like your name on the book, you people assume it's like all this one person, but then it's like, there's so many other things that go behind it or, and people with like decisions and stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm super stoked.
Yeah. Either way, I'm like, it's 5 books. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to see where he takes it. I'm like, you know, I'm excited to read Despicable Wonders when it comes out. It's so weird to like be reading these like two different series and like they're not complete. But I'm excited to read the book and then like then to read it for Wizard Team and just see like how things get set up, and then we'll really know, right? Like if it just completely is like wrapped up, obviously it could be that like Omari gets a new adventure or whatever, or like, you know, also there's like, we don't know how much time it's going to take between in terms of like in world. So we don't know like how much Amari is going to age as this goes on. Like there's just a lot of different factors that I think will be really interesting. Cool. Are we ready to get into MVP and benched announcements?
Woo-hoo. Ready, ready, ready.
All right, so MVP. In third place, we have Jaden. Like, honestly, I will say the MVP and bench were, like, super not surprising. When I was looking, I was just like, yeah, definitely. So Jaden is in third place for MVP, which makes a lot of sense. Just because, like, I feel like almost every time he was, like, in a chapter or in a book, he got somebody gave him an MVP. And then Elsie's at number two. Again, not really surprising because she's great. She did what had to be done. And then Amari's at number one, far ahead of everyone else. But again, I don't think that that's surprising.
I'm so shocked.
She's a great kid, you know? So, and then, sorry, I was in the wrong tab. Okay. Benched. Again, not super surprising. At number three is director Van Helsing. He got one out above Cosmo. So Cosmo did not make it in the top three. But I think that's also because like he wasn't actually in this book as much as, like, if he was in the book more, he would definitely got benched more. But yeah, so director Van Helsing at number three, Bane at number two, and then Harlow at number one.
That's crazy because Dylan again, like doesn't even make it.
But again, Dylan wasn't really in it that much. Yeah, Dylan was like number five or something. No. Yeah. And he's not, like, the thing is, Dylan is not in it that much, and
yeah,
he isn't really the, like, and like he's an antagonist, but he's not really the villain.
Yeah. Well, I think it's more in terms of like director Van Helsing getting more benches over Dylan because of, again, mm-hmm. it is like proximity and we see him more. He's in, like, Amari is living with and having to deal with him for what, a good chunk of the book. Dylan's in the sightless depths. I guess not that, a third of it maybe. And then part we're of it, only yeah. seeing him during the trials of the Great Game. But
the Great Game. Yeah.
It is just funny that, like, when you think about how the
and
first
like it's ended. His dad's fault that he's that way yeah. anyway too, so it's just like compounded. It's like every bench for Dylan is really a bench for Van for his dad.
<It's>
which
true.
Is not how we counted it's it very true. But just like technically speaking,
yeah
and I don't think did he I feel like I can't remember who hold up I'm gonna look I know that all the Van Helsings were in the top three last time. But it was, oh, Lara was number one for the Knight Brothers. And Dylan was number two. And then Van Helsing was number three. So Van Helsing has been number three. He's been in that three spot, two books in a row.
He's comfortable. Engrave his name on that spot.
So yeah, that's it.
We did it.
We did it. I can't believe we're like done. We wrapped up this book. It's crazy. Thank y'all for listening. We're going to be on hiatus for the rest of the month. You might see you didn't hear it from me. You might see like a bonus episode or something. But other than that, we're not really. You won't see us or hear our voices until May. But
when the W season starts, we'll be back. Y'all, the planning is horrible.
Girl, time is time. Like, I don't know what you want us to do. If we were scheduled around basketball, Wynn. We would never be live.
I want to speak to Director Wynn about the time management.
Girl.
How we gonna finish the day of the NCAA championship, get some time off, and then boom. It's fine. It's fine.
But yeah, so we're, you know, again, you're not gonna hear us for the rest of the month, but make sure you're following us. We will have stuff. We'll be like announcing the next like what's coming next. When we come back in May, we're gonna do like this mini series that we're trying out. It'll only be through the month of May. We're gonna go through Black Panther Tales of Wakanda, which is like an anthology of like Black Panther stories. So we're gonna be going through that. That'll be really fun. Make sure you're following us so you know like what we're gonna be doing. We're gonna actually that month, we're gonna open up live recordings to everyone. So you won't have to be a BNC baddie to watch us record for that month. And yeah, it'll be really fun. We're gonna try some like new things. And then after that, you know, we'll get into we're going to be checking in on what Bree and them are up to, which is nothing good, unfortunately. I hate that for them, but but yeah, so
there's some bright spots.
Yeah, so make sure
there's some bright spots in what Bree's going through. I'm thinking of like a scene in a bathroom that lives rent free in my head.
Oh yeah, I mean,
he circles,
but is it a bright spot? I don't.
It's a moment.
I don't really know that there are moments, but I don't know that there are bright spots in Bloodmark. Not gonna lie, it's all pretty dire. It's all pretty bleak.
It's pretty dire.
I love that book, It's all pretty dire. It's gonna be a lot of rage. But anyway, we're not there yet.
No, you need to clip that because when someone's like, hey, tell me a little bit about you, Bayana, I need the, it's all pretty dire. I love that book.
To be the thing. I mean, it's very true.
Let me tell you who I am.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, May 1st, since that's the first Wednesday of May, we will be back talking about Black Panther. Get the book, read it. You have time, right? By the time you hear this, it'll be like 2-3 weeks, something like that, before the first episode. And then like join our live recordings. It'll be fun. Yeah.
Also, since we're opening it up to non-baddies and stuff, use this time to think about whether or not you want to become a baddie. But there's also, you can throw us tips on Spotify. There's like a little like tip jar type of thing too. You can do that immediately through that while you're listening. There are ways to support and give us ideas of other ways that you would be able or willing to support as well. Wizard Team is
yeah,
a part
like
of
we
the want to
keep
Arts
doing
Grid.
This and we want to like expand and get to like talk about more books and go places and talk about books and like, you know what I mean? So just if you like listening to us, tell your friends about us. And then also, you know, buy the books and support and however you want. Follow us.
Buy the books with our links,
too.
Yes,
they're in the show notes. They're affiliate links. And then we get like a dollar. But then you're also supporting indie bookstores. It's all very, you know, all great.
Mutually beneficial.
All great stuff. Yes.
Okay. Wizard Team is a part of the Black Nerds Create Collective. If you want to keep up with our content, you can check out our website at blacknerdscreate.com. Follow us on Instagram and Tumblr at Wizard Team Pod and at Black Nerds Create. You can also, you know, join our community and talk to us about all sorts of things that we fan out about, one of which being women's basketball.
And books. since this is a book podcast. Both. We have both.
There is a book. There's a romance that I'm hoping to read soon in which the main character's mothers were in the WNBA. I'm very excited about that book. Anyway.
Was that Rebecca Weatherspoon?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was very
anyway.
Cute.
Anyway, anywho. Thank you.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.